Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. It is hour two, Toker Talk Radio. The phone lines are open right now at 971-533-7111. Finishing up important emails here. Sorry for the delay. That's how you know we're live. Every weekday here at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., Pacific time, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern time, and the same 2 hours, whatever they are in your time zone, wherever you're listening. So if you're listening to me now, this is when we're on. It's pretty easy to figure out. Also, you can get on-demand replays out at cannabisradio.com as well, and that will be developing by leaps and bounds over the next few weeks. Trust me, it's going to be crazy in just a while. Got an announcement. I've just confirmed my next travel gig, my first travel gig of 2016, and I'm excited that my travel gig will be well, that drum roll's longer than I thought. My next travel gig will be January 26th. That's a week from next Tuesday. January 26th, I will be in Boise, Idaho. That's right. I will be back in my hometown, my stomping grounds, Boise, Idaho, taking part in a town hall discussion on marijuana legalization. According to the press release, it's New Approach Idaho and Boise State University's Students for Sensible Drug Policy town hall meeting to discuss the marijuana issue in Idaho, January 26th at 7 p.m. Guest speakers include the director of the Idaho Office of Drug Policy, a Boise State professor of criminal justice, myself, and Idaho State Troopers. The public is eagerly invited to attend. For more information, you can check out their Facebook page. I've got it linked in my Facebook as well. Or email them newapproachidaho@gmail.com. So I'll be flying in Tuesday morning into Boise. We'll do a live show from Boise, Idaho. I don't know where from yet. And then we will make our way to the event, and I will be representing the pro-pot side against Idaho's drug czar and the Idaho State Troopers. Now, I imagine the Boise State professor will be marginally on my side. If he's a criminal justice professor, he's got to know, you know, the ridiculous waste of criminal justice resources. But looking forward to that, my first travel gig. And then the next travel gig, I'm so bummed about this. January 30th and 31st, like I kept the weekend open because there was the possibility of going to Hawaii. Doesn't look like I'm going to Hawaii now. So that weekend is the first weekend of the 2-weekend Cannabis Cup in Southern California in San Bernardino. They're doing it for 2 weekends, Saturday and Sunday, January 30th and 31st. 31st is my birthday, by the way. And then the following weekend in San Bernardino, they just announced the musical lineup. And usually with these Cannabis Cups, I'm not too into the musical lineup. You know, rap guys and reggae guys, and I don't care. But this goes old school. This goes back in the day for me. And I was actually in a funk band at the time when this group was popular. The Roots will be playing with De La Soul. So I am totally just vexed about this. That's a show I'd like to see. The Roots, Questlove, and De La Soul. Are you kidding me? And I won't be able to go because, well, that's the last weekend here at Roller J Studios. Got to move out of this house. And so we've got the truck booked and the storage unit and all that. And I got to get stuff out before I head out February for all the different gigs and events. So we got San Bernardino on the first weekend of February, San Francisco on the second weekend of February, and Seattle on the third weekend of February. It's going to get crazy. Follow me at Radical Russ everywhere on social media if you want to keep up. We're back with some Reefer Madness from Kentucky right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, where it's wet and gray and rainy and cold and will be for the next 4 or 5 months. But I won't be here. This is my last bit of time at Rolla J, heading down to Arizona to work with the Cannabis Radio people for a while. But mostly I'll be on the road. So keep following me at Radical Russ on all the social media, so when I pull into your neck of the woods, we can get together, hang out, and, you know, have a safety meeting.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he dropped it from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Welcome back, everybody. For today's Reefer Madness, we are taking a look at the state of Kentucky. A story out of the Lexington Herald Leader, and it's an op-ed presented by Frank Rapier. I can't make up the names, man. Frank Rapier. Is that joke rapey? Well, it's a little rapier than I expected. Frank Rapier, he's the director of the Appalachia High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, right? So again, these are the drug cops that get their federal grants to go after weed. Okay, so this is his commentary, and he's responding to State Senator Perry B. Clark, who wrote an op-ed, Stop Waste of Money Lives in Criminalizing Pot, basically a pro-decriminalization sort of op-ed for Kentucky. Well, Frank Rapier's not buying it. He's not having it, and he's written an op-ed entitled, Don't Fall for the Lies from Big Marijuana. So I will read for you some of Frank Rapier's comments, of course, in my cranky old man voice. And we'll stop from time to time so we can do the proper debunking. In response to the column, Stop Waste of Money, Lives in Criminalizing Pot, let me say that I agree with Senator Perry B. Clark on one point. America is being bamboozled. We're being bamboozled by Big Marijuana. For several years now, we have witnessed a highly financed, deceptive campaign to legalize marijuana. It started with the premise that marijuana is medicine. Marijuana may contain medical components, but so does opium. We don't smoke opium to get the pain-killing effects of morphine. How could you dose smoked marijuana? Okay, so let me put the pause on. This is the typical Kevin Sabet line of, well, we don't smoke opium, we have morphine, right? But here's the thing, you can actually grow an opium poppy. It's legal. You can legally grow opium poppies, just so long as you're not scoring the sides of them to collect the sap and then turn into the drug. It's perfectly legal to have opium poppies. So that number one falls by the wayside. Number two, opium was actually used for medical purposes. Back in the day, back in your Civil War days and so on, when they were doing amputations and stuff, and nobody would doubt that smoking opium has the analgesic effect. Nobody doubts the medical effect of it. The fact that we purified that and made it dose controlled, and made it into morphine doesn't deny the fact that the opium itself had a medical effect. Neither does any preparation that we make out of cannabis deny that there is medical effect of cannabis. It's so ridiculous. These people are like, well, if we take THC and we put it in Marinol, that's a medicine. If we take CBD and put that in Epidiolex, that's a medicine. If we take THC and CBD and we put that in Sativex, that's a medicine. But the plant from which we get the THC and CBD is not medicine? That's like saying, you know, well, you can get vitamin C from a vitamin, but don't bother eating an orange. What? It just makes no sense whatsoever. And his question, how could you dose smoked marijuana, shows a basic ignorance of the main benefit of smoked or inhaled medications. The instant titration, the instant passing of the blood-brain barrier that allows the user to self-titrate, to know exactly how much they need. Oh, I still hurt. Oh, I feel a little better. Oh, there we go. That's what it is. That's why there's not a need for knowing how many milligrams or nanograms are getting involved. Unlike with a pill, you need to know that, or with an alcohol, you need to know that, because the effect doesn't take effect for 40 or 50 minutes, and you could overdose. Let's continue. While it is entirely possible that the marijuana plant does contain elements that would be useful in treating specific disorders, there needs to be research and a process of approval, like all potentially helpful medicines. The Food and Drug Administration performs this procedure daily. Let's give that a shot before we can get serious about marijuana as medicine.
Okay, so I guess 7,000 years of people using it.
has no bearing on whether or not it's a medicine. 7,000 years with no overdose deaths. But we should trust the FDA that approved Vioxx. We should approve the, we should go with the FDA that approved, you know, thalidomide and all these other drugs that had to be recalled and seem to be recalled more often than used to be. How many of those ads do you see on TV from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe for, have you been injured by mesothelioma or this, what was the drug that causes the boys to grow man boobs? Really, not kidding. These Risperdal or whatever the hell it was, right? Let's continue. Big Marijuana has lied for years in stating that the prisons are filled with people arrested for possession of small amounts of marijuana. Nothing could be further from the truth. With the current opiate addiction crisis in Kentucky and other states, law enforcement is too busy to bother with casual marijuana users. A survey by the Bureau of Justice Statistics showed that 0.7% of all state inmates were behind bars for marijuana possession only, with many pleading down from more serious crimes. In total, 0.1% of all state prisoners in the U.S. were marijuana possession offenders with no prior offenses, according to a 1999 report from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Well, here's where that's a problem. There are 2.3 million people in prison in the United States today. 1.5 million of them in state prisons. So when you say that 0.1% of 1.5 million people are behind bars, that 0.1% is 1,500 people. When you say 0.7% are behind bars total out of 1.5 million, you're still talking about thousands and thousands of people whose lives are overturned, whose liberty is taken from them for a plant. And come on, with the opiate addiction crisis, law enforcement's too busy to bother with casual marijuana users? Then explain why there's 700,000 marijuana arrests every year. They seem to have plenty of time to arrest 700,000 people. Plus, those statistics don't count the people who go back to jail because they failed a P test or they got caught with weed and they were on probation or parole. It doesn't count the people who are in jail that were really just just pot possessors, but they also happen to have a gun because they're a hunter or whatever, and that becomes a firearm committing a felony sort of thing. It doesn't count all of those things. Let's finish this up. He says, Colorado's passage of responsible adult marijuana use law has also resulted in other issues. A report by the Rocky Mountain High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Area compared studies of the two-year average of marijuana use during full legalization to the two-year average just prior to legalization. The latest results show Colorado youth 12 to 17 ranked number one in the nation for past month marijuana use, up from number four. Their usage was 74% higher than the national average. College-aged adults 18 to 25 increased 17%, 62% higher than the national average. Okay, well, first of all, part of why Colorado is up to number one is because some other states have declined. It's not just that Colorado went up, but states that were much higher than Colorado's, like Vermont, which was at 14%, has declined to below what Colorado's was. And when you look at the states that have had the greatest increase over the past, those two past periods, the greatest rate of increase, it's not Colorado. It's states like Florida and Louisiana that have had the greatest increase, and they sure as hell haven't legalized marijuana. Colorado has always had greater use of marijuana among the youth and young adults than any other state. And as far as that 18 to 25 number, doesn't that include people aged 21 to 25 who are now able to use it legally? And how much of this increase can be owed to the fact that now that it's legal, people are less afraid to say that they do it? How much of this is a reporting bias that is inherent in asking people if they've done something that's illegal? Perhaps the numbers were underreported in the past. Well, that's Frank Rapier from the Appalachia High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, who concludes, legalization is about one thing and one thing only, making a small number of business people very rich. There is indeed some bamboozling going on. Kentuckians shouldn't fall for legalizing marijuana. Yeah, how about instead of small number of business people getting rich, and by the way, paying taxes and creating jobs, we take that away from the Mexican cartels who are paying no taxes.
Come out and fight! It is a good day to die.
You damn right, Chief Dan George. Happy 420, everybody, from Portland, Oregon, and the rest of the West Coast, which is the best coast. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to conclude today's talking about other drugs by looking at this experimental painkiller in France that is looking to kill many people, and they tried to blame it on weed.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for? Are you stupid?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too. NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Well, that's easy for you to say. Welcome back, everybody, 23 after the hour, and taking a look at a piece written up on the Daily Mail out in the UK. Experimental painkiller that has left one person brain dead and five seriously ill has been given to 90 people, warns French health minister. And there is no antidote. So, yeah, there's this drug, this experimental drug they've been working on in France. One person's already brain dead from it. Five others are seriously ill. And 90 people have been given the drug. And the health minister, prosecutors are looking at investigating this now. The health minister said it's an accident of exceptional gravity without precedence in France. And it was a new painkiller they were testing. 90 volunteers were given the drug in varying doses. All six hospitalized men were between the ages of 28 and 49. They were healthy when the trial began. One man now classified as brain dead. Three others were suffering a handicap that could be irreversible, said the chief neuroscientist at the hospital. No known antidote. And, of course, experts are saying it's so incredibly rare for volunteers to fall seriously ill when testing new drugs. But one of the things that was really disturbing about this story is when it first broke, all the headlines were about this new cannabis-based painkiller that had caused people to have these serious reactions. And that news spread like wildfire. And it's just not true. This was a drug that was meant to work on the endocannabinoid system, but does not contain cannabis nor any substance derived from cannabis. Let me give you the audio here from the French health minister on this story. And give me just a second here, because we have to, there's so many damn windows now that have audio in them. You have to find them all and close them and before you can play something for you. But anyway, here is the French health minister describing the situation.
Please choose a sponsored video.
We're not going to choose a sponsored video. Oh, all right. Sorry about that. Should have had that loaded before we started, but Anyway, the drug contained neither cannabis nor any substance derived from cannabis. The drug was meant to act on the body's endocannabinoid system. And it's interesting how the minister said, which deals with pain, like willing to admit that this is real, so rare anymore that we have doctors that even understand the endocannabinoid system exists. But let's go to that doctor, the French health minister, describe this.
Un accident d'une exceptionnelle gravité s'est produit dans le cadre d'un essai clinique de phase 1 réalisé à Rennes. 6 personnes ont été hospitalisées dans ce CHU depuis dimanche dernier.
All right, so that's not going to help us much that we don't speak French, but it's she's responding with all the stuff. We've basically told you that the 6 men have experienced this problem and they don't know of any cure for this at the moment. So we will keep you posted on that. But this is the frustrating part, though, is that we get a story like this that freaks everyone out about cannabinoid medicines, cannabinoid therapies. And it's because a lot of the press out there are ignorant when it comes to reporting this story. I can imagine how this would happen. I can imagine that somebody gets this press report out that says that this drug that was meant to work on the body's cannabinoids, endocannabinoid system, was causing these problems. Some reporter sees cannabinoid, goes, oh, cannabinoid, cannabis, ah, cannabis drug. And they know that putting some sort of marijuana or cannabis headline is going to get them a lot of clicks. And the next thing you know, that gets picked up and shared by the anti-drug people and by the pro-drug people responding to the anti-drug people. And yeah, the next thing you know, it's, you know, a lie is halfway across the world before the truth gets its shoes on, right? But as I was looking researching this story, looking through the Google news feeds and so on, they still had the old headlines of it being a cannabis-based drug that was causing these problems. But once you click on the link and you end up at the story, it goes out of its way to describe that, no, this was not a cannabis-based drug. So it sounds to me like the French officials speaking out strongly about this have made a great deal of difference in getting this story accurately reported. But experimental drugs, again, hurting and killing people. But the governments of the world have to continue a prohibition against cannabis, which is neither hurting nor killing people. And that prohibition is hurting and killing people. We've been talking recently about the epidemic of spice overdoses. Recent New England Patriots player having a bad reaction to spice. Although I heard Chris Carter on the NFL Network says that, no, he was smoking pot laced with PCP. Come on. What, who is lacing pot with PCP and giving it to NFL players? Is that happening often? I'm more likely to believe the spice story. Sorry. Chris Carter doesn't know what he's talking about. But the reason they do the spice, the reason they do the K2 is because it doesn't show up on the drug tests. And it's more legally available. We go to such great lengths to criminalize the safest one. It's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating that we continue to do this and make the problems worse. But I do have some hope. I do have some hope because I think, you know, with that YouGov poll that I was just talking about and the recent Gallup polls, and Americans now, 52% of them say they've tried pot. We have a majority that have actually tried it. So you can't lie to them and tell them how awful it's going to be when they themselves know that it's not. And we've got majorities now, strong majorities that don't buy the gateway theory anymore. That's significant. And strong majorities that believe it's a waste of time and money for the government to be fighting against marijuana. All of these things are great indicators showing how far we've come and how much power we yield at this point. But one story here that I think is also quite telling is one coming out of Hollywood. You know who Chuck Lorre is? Chuck Lorre is one of the top showrunners in television these days. He's, of course, the man behind the huge, huge hit, The Big Bang Theory, the number one show on TV, right? The Big Bang Theory. He was also the guy that was behind Two and a Half Men, you know, and that whole Charlie Sheen thing that went down. So he is now shopping around a new sitcom set in a Colorado pot shop. And as someone put it, it's The Big Bang Theory if the guys were not geniuses but selling weed. And with the pull he's got, I mean, I think he could strongly, there's a strong chance he gets this on the air. Now, whether it ends up on network TV, I don't know, but they're talking about possibly Netflix. But they've also, you know, shopped it out to the broadcast networks. Could we be at a point where a national broadcast network would show a pro-pot sitcom? And can you imagine the uproar from the Kevin Sabets and the Christian conservative types if that were to happen? Now, I see this hitting Netflix. I don't know if it hits national TV, although I was always surprised by That 70s Show when it was on TV, how explicit they made pot smoking without actually showing pot smoking. Maybe we are to the point where we can have a sitcom. You know, and it's going to be hard to demonize marijuana once it's a sitcom on TV. You know, they'll try, of course, but it's just going to get harder and harder. And one of my followers on Twitter, I think, had the perfect encapsulation of this as, gee, I remember when pot used to be cool. It's actually, I think it was Peter Ogburn out there in Washington, D.C. from the Bill Press Show said that. And that's the way I see it. Once pot becomes a sitcom, it's no longer cool for the kids. It's the number one thing we can do. I've always said this. If you want to get kids to stop smoking pot, make it mom and dad's drug. Kids don't want to do what mom and dad are into. Why are the kids off Facebook? Because mom and dad got on Facebook. Same thing with weed. Legalize weed, make it mundane, make it, you know, uninteresting, and fewer kids are going to smoke pot. So I'm looking forward to this if we get a sitcom like this, but not just for how Kevin Sabet and the Prohibitionists will, you know, scream bloody murder about it, because you know they will, but also because I think it's a significant, you know, moment. You know, people discount sitcoms or popular TV, but I think they can have a huge influence on our culture. Think of Will and Grace or Ellen. How many of those TV shows that featured likable mainstream gay characters helped lead to the rapid change in attitudes toward gay marriage in this country? In 2006, gay marriage was something you put on the ballot because it was going to help you as a conservative. It was going to bring out the haters. And they had a nonstop streak, unbeaten streak of passing anti-gay legislation from state to state to state to state. Now, you can't turn on a TV show that doesn't have some likable gay characters. It's like shoehorning in gay characters where I'm watching some sci-fi show. Netflix and all these different shows that I watch, and they all have some likable gay couple. Or sometimes even, you know, as the lead characters where them being a gay couple doesn't really matter to the story. It could have been any couple. Sometimes it feels a little forced even. Like the script might have originally been written for a straight couple, but to be cool, we're going to put a gay couple in it. Regardless, you can't deny the massive change in societal approval of gay people and gay couples. And I really do believe it's the mainstream depiction and a friendly depiction in the mainstream media that helped that. And I think we're going to see the same phenomenon with marijuana. the more, I mean, we've already seen it to some extent with all the news cable networks that have, you know, Marijuana Inc. and Marijuana Country and, you know, Weed Country and Weed Wars and all these shows that they put out trying to make ratings bucks off of weed. This is the dawn of our time. That's for damn sure. And it's we are going to see in the next 10 years, I think, the same sort of rapid change that we saw. And we're already in the middle of it, obviously, to some extent. We are going to see that rapid change where we're going to look back in 10 years and it's going to be weird to imagine how hateful we were toward marijuana. We'll be here for you throughout all the time it takes to get to that point. We can always say we were right back in the day. We knew what was right. We're glad that everyone else is catching up with us. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Phone lines are open at 971.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 38 and a half after the hour, and we've got some breaking news. This was just filed an hour ago on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Marijuana advocate with Missouri ties sued by business partners in Oregon court. Telling the story of Travis Maurer, who's recently been lionized in Newsweek magazine. He was a cover story, Cannabis Crusader, talking about how he was busted in Missouri, came to Oregon, and helped raise money and political will to get our marijuana legalized in 2014. And I got to give you full disclosure on this because Travis has paid me in the past for writing and for some of my radio work. In fact, when I left Normal in May of 2012, in June of 2012, I started National Cannabis Radio, and that was funded by Travis for about 3 months. And I've got the board here as well, a soundboard that he purchased. So I got it. That's the full disclosure angle on this. But this story is going to be a bombshell, especially out here in Oregon once it gets picked up. I'll just read you the story by Jack Suntrup of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. A Missouri native who has helped organize marijuana legalization efforts in Missouri is being sued by three of his former business partners. Two separate lawsuits claim that Travis Maurer, who was once called the mastermind behind Oregon's successful push for legal recreational marijuana, used money from business accounts to cover personal expenses, wrecking the balance sheets of the ventures he was involved in. One lawsuit accuses Maurer and his wife, Leah Maurer, of using more than $340,000 of company funds for things unrelated to company expenses. That money was supposed to go toward a legal marijuana dispensary and growing operation in Oregon, the lawsuit says. New Approach Missouri, a campaign trying to put medical marijuana on the state's November ballot, listed $26,000 in company money on its June campaign finance filings. There is no mention of the donation or New Approach Missouri in the lawsuit. The plaintiff in that case, Randy Quast, is asking for damages up to $1 million and that the Maurers be removed from the company, MQH LLC. Quast is also suing for slander and libel. The suit was filed Friday in Multnomah County, Oregon Circuit Court. And again, more full disclosure, Randy Quast is a very good friend of mine and one of the top donors I've ever had in my independent marijuana career. Randy is also the treasurer and a fellow board member and founder, co-founder along with me, of Portland Normal. So he moved out here. He founded Minnesota Normal, moved out here. We formed Portland Normal, and then he got introduced to Travis through me also, full disclosure, I warned him. I said, be careful here. But anyway, that suit was filed Friday. In another lawsuit, the plaintiffs are two owners of The Weed Blog, an online publication focused on marijuana issues. They say they joined forces with Maurer in November of 2012, and Maurer became part owner and chief financial manager of the blog. The lawsuit claims that since November of that year, Maurer had intentionally and maliciously transferred The Weed Blog funds from The Weed Blog bank accounts to Maurer's various personal accounts and or paid personally incurred debts with The Weed Blog funds. According to the lawsuit filed on December 23rd in Multnomah County Court, Maurer was supposed to supervise the site's business strategy. Instead, the plaintiffs and business partners, Christopher Young and Jeffrey White, accused Maurer in the lawsuit of failing to file tax report returns, respond timely to advertising requests, and pay bills. Young and White seek $51,000 in damages plus court costs. Young and White would not comment for the article. Travis Maurer, when reached by phone on Thursday, acknowledged that he was aware of Young and White's lawsuit. He said he hadn't heard of any lawsuit filed by Quast and wouldn't respond to any claims without first seeing it. On Young and White's lawsuit, he said, I'm attempting to solve it amicably, and I deny all claims. So, the story goes on to talk about Randy Quast's lawsuit. According to Quast's lawsuit, he and the Maurers met in Portland in early 2015 when Quast moved to town. Both the Maurers and Quast had been involved with marijuana advocacy, and eventually the three became friends. Quast is on the board of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML. Maurer just kind of took me under his wing, Quast said in an interview. I was invited to family events and the kids' soccer games and whatever holidays because, you know, I'm out here alone, end quote. In February 2015, the lawsuit says that Travis and Leah Maurer had convinced Quast to go into business with them. According to the lawsuit, in exchange for Quast investing in a marijuana dispensary and growing operation, the Maurers would transfer to MQH their interest in The Weed Blog and another company that held leases for the dispensary and grow operation. But that never happened, the lawsuit alleges. According to the lawsuit, Quast contributed about $696,000 to be used for the growing operation and dispensary, but the lawsuit alleges that $340,000 went to the Maurers' personal expenses and debts. More than $356,000 was properly used to build out the dispensary. The grow operation was never built, the lawsuit claims. Quote, when I caught on to everything, I go to the warehouse, talk to the landlord, and it's empty, Quast said. There's nothing in the warehouse, end quote. Quast said he began to question where the money was going that summer. Travis Maurer played an integral role in the push for recreational marijuana in November 2014. After possessing marijuana in Oregon became legal in July, Quast said he noticed spending on PR, but not for the company. Quote, I started to see expenses for PR firms and stuff, and it was all about getting him press for what he did, and it wasn't related to the company at all, end quote, Quast said. Between July and December, Maurer was profiled or featured in numerous publications, including Newsweek, the Columbia Daily Tribune, and Columbia's Vox magazine. Post-Dispatch columnist Bill McClellan mentioned Maurer in a column about what McClellan argued was the failure of the so-called war on drugs. The Oregonian newspaper in Portland labeled Maurer as the mastermind behind the successful effort there. One thing mentioned in the news articles is his 2009 arrest in Columbia, Missouri, when he was accused of having hundreds of pot plants behind false walls in his house. He's been active and public in marijuana politics ever since. By the fall, the Maurers and Quast had started feuding. The lawsuit accuses Travis Maurer of libel and slander. It claims that on or about September 22, 2015, Travis Maurer said in an email to Young and White that Quast was a pedophile and a fucking drunk who likes little kids. As a proximate result of the above-described publications, Quast has suffered loss of his reputation, shame, mortification, hurt feelings, and emotional distress, all to his general damage, the lawsuit says. Quast is not a pedophile and has never been accused of being a pedophile, the lawsuit says. And on the financial side, Quast said he started to confront the Maurers about certain spending, but said he was met with excuses. I started to look into the books more, Quast said, and there was just a lot of missing money, end quote. An example of misused money were payments between May 1st and September 14th, totaling $143,000 to STM Leasing, a company owned by Stephen Travis Maurer, the lawsuit says. STM has nothing to do with the build-out of the dispensary or the grow operation and did not provide any services to or have an agreement with MQH to provide goods or services, the lawsuit says. And in an example of how Quast said he was misled, which isn't mentioned in the lawsuit, Quast said that Leah Maurer had signed a $26,000 check from MQH's account to New Approach Missouri, a group trying to get medical marijuana on the statewide ballot in November. The money was used to fund an internal poll, Quast said. Quast said he was initially unaware such a commitment had been made. Quote, I think by the time of the board meetings, people were probably thinking highly of me because I had agreed to fund the poll with Travis, but I didn't know that at all, end quote, Quast said. Maurer said he didn't know why Quast thought he was misled about the New Approach check, quote, Randy was a part of the process and saw the presentation, Maurer said in a text message. I can't answer why he wouldn't remember that, end quote. Jack Cardetti, the spokesman for New Approach Missouri, said that both Maurer and Quast were involved in conversations about polling. Whether a donation was made without Quast's approval is a dispute between the Maurers and Quast, Cardetti said. In a statement, Cardetti said that Maurer is a committed reform advocate, but that he is not on the New Approach Missouri board or staff, nor does he have any day-to-day involvement in our campaign, end quote. Cardetti said that Travis Maurer had played a greater role in New Approach Missouri's campaign until it was announced that the group would pursue legalizing medical marijuana. Maurer supports full legalization. Quast said he still supports for the group's board, staff, and its effort. But by September, Quast said he was done dealing with the Maurers. Quote, it was the beginning of September when I said, I'm done, that's it, no more. I had to get the attorneys involved because I just couldn't believe him anymore. End quote. Wow. Bombshell story coming out of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Two separate lawsuits filed against the man who has been called the mastermind of Oregon legalization. And it's just a damn shame because the prior guy in Oregon, who's the one who had all the money being thrown around, has also screwed over numerous people that I'm friends with. And they've had to file lawsuits, and it's just a shame. It's just a shame that this is the way this has to go. But, you know, these lawsuits, I think they're just necessary at this point. I know a lot more of the behind the scenes behind this stuff that I can't tell you about, but, yeah, this is something that's been brewing for a while. It's finally come to a head. It's finally been made public. We'll keep you posted on this and what happens. And by the way, it's not just, you know, Travis kind of keeps a low profile. His wife, Leah, is very involved and I think is one of the co-founders of the Portland Women's Grow or Women Grow group, which I believe is the fastest growing Women Grow group or the largest group in the nation. So this could have a detrimental impact in many areas of Pacific Northwest marijuana reform, in Missouri marijuana reform. And this doesn't even include, this is just two of the incidents. I think there's at least two others out there where if the parties had the kind of money to go to court, they would. So keep your eyes open, folks. It's just, you got to watch out what's going on here in this world of marijuana legalization. It's not always hippy-dippy sun and light. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll close things up and get things ready For Stoner Jesus, coming up at the top of the hour, I'm Radical Russ, your Red State refugee. We're going to take a break and be right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
MJWellness.com, the largest medical marijuana community in the world. Connect with thousands of patients, doctors, industry leaders, and businesses through shared personal experiences along our worldwide network. Discover new therapies and benefits with content tailored to you. Come grow your network on MJWellness.com. You're not alone. Your wellness matters. Learn, live, and thrive. Check out MJWellness.com today.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's TheSilverTour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. As we wind things up, my blood's boiling. I tell you, I'm kind of pissed off. I'll tell you right up front, Randy Quast is a wonderful human being, and being accused of being a creepy drunk pedophile, like, if you're going to accuse someone of being a pedophile, you better have some damn good evidence. You better have that. I mean, that's one of the things that just really... really gets me, because that's the kind of thing that it's just being accused of it is detrimental. It's just obscene. Let's go to our phone lines. We got a call from the 410 area code trying to get in here. First, my Skype will behave. There we go. 410, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning or afternoon or evening, Russ. Just want to get a couple things in here. Make a comment on you're talking about the guy with the sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the show Mike and Molly. You ever watch that show?
That's another one of his sitcoms, and it kind of broke ground as kind of showing this obese couple. Yeah, I remember that one.
Well, yeah, but her sister, she tokes up all the time, man. Her sister's a
So it's a running gag, the two cops, the sister's a pothead, that's the gig?
Yeah, you know, okay. And they never say, both the cops know, you know, that she tokes up and everything, and nobody ever says anything. But, you know, it's out there. It's on, you know, it's there. And then, I'm sorry if I'm taking you off topic here, man.
No, it's fine. That's what we're here for.
But yesterday or a couple of days ago, you were talking about the brand names, you know, people lending their names to. And I was thinking that wouldn't steer me. I would probably go with some genetics, growing at different locations around the world.
You know,
and maybe some from growers or something like that. That's
the thing is, I think a lot of these marketers out there think that marijuana is going to be, you know, guys that don't know a thing about marijuana think it's going to be marketed with brands and celebrities. And I don't think that's the case at all. I don't care if you slap Snoop Dogg's name on it. You got Sub Cool's name on it. That means something to me.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, man, still love what you're doing, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. Nice talking to you. And yeah, we call, we got the phone lines open at 4 o'clock every day here on the Russ Belville show. So make sure you join us. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Stoner Jesus joining us live here on cannabisradio.com. Although I'm looking out to the server and it looks like it crashed. So I don't know what I can do about that. Oh boy. All right. Well, I'll do what I have to do. I don't know how that's going to get fixed for Stoner Jesus though. If you're listening, Stoner Jesus, I just went to the remote control and it looks like the server crashed. So good luck, my friend. Good luck. Hey, you're Stoner Jesus, man. Just do a miracle, right? Just wave your hands or whatever it has to do. All right. We got to go because that's all the time we got for this weekend and this week. Thanks for joining us. We will be back next week with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone at CannabisRadio.com and here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Portland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. You can find me at Radical Russ everywhere. Just go online. If it's got an account, I'm Radical Russ on it. Stoner Jesus is going to stream live starting at 5. He tells me in the chat room he's got it going. So after that, we'll leave it up to Jorge. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have yourself a great weekend. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.